Hello, and welcome back to this regularly scheduled episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by Nation's Restaurant News. I am your host, Holly Petrie, here with the latest episode. Thank you for bearing with us, for listening, for appreciating our week of podcasts. We had a lot of fun launching the top 500 with an entire week of podcasts with our snapshots of success, which we will continue to do throughout the year. We actually have one coming out today as well. So look forward to that and keep staying tuned for all of our new podcast discoveries and shows. We have a lot of really exciting things coming up in the next year-ish. But until then, we do have today's episode with James Park, the former CEO of Garbanzo Mediterranean Fresh, who is here to talk about his latest concept called Wing Walk in Denver. He speaks with Brett Thorne. They know each other for several years, so it's actually a pretty good conversation. They talk about all sorts of things. I mean, you know, wings were a big food during the pandemic, so obviously there is a lot to talk about there, but they also have some fun. Brett's a local Denver kid, so they get to talk about all of those fun things, and there's also some talk about what makes a restaurant exciting, like beer and soju. So definitely stay tuned and enjoy the episode, and definitely stay around for all of our snapshots of success that will be coming out twice a week, and our regularly scheduled podcasts on Friday. Now, here are Brett and James Park.
There are probably 10 million wing chains out there. So what are your distinguishing characteristics of Wing Walk?
We're taking both a digital approach and a restaurant approach. So we believe in two things. We believe infinitely in the brick and mortar space, but we also big subscribers to click and order space as well. And so we're going to really truly layer in some intelligent marketing to drive customers with great content and the curation of great content into Wing Walk. So experientially, you're going to be both online and offline. And I think those two worlds, there's no better time for them to collide.
So what sort of processes do you have that make it convenient for me to order my Wing Walk products?
So obviously online ordering at the base level, online ordering, seamless integration with the POS, alerting you where we are in the process via text, right? All of those factors that are convenient, that allow a level of convenience, right? I mean, I think the big unknown is, where is my food in the process? And there's a big pizza player who had that tracker to show you where your pie was in the process, right? Real or not, at least it felt open. The black box was open, you know, and we always wonder, it's like if you're, I think the hotels have something to learn from us. For example, if you order, room service, right? You never know if it's going to be 5 minutes or if you're going to be naked when your food shows up half an hour later after you get out of the shower. Right. You know, it's a big unknown.
And so you're in the shower because maybe they'll show up and you're in the shower.
That's my point. Exactly. Right. Case in point. We've all experienced that before as your business traveler. So what we're doing is opening up that black box. What we're doing is making it real simple for people to use. And in addition to that, we're going to create amazing content and we're going to curate amazing content. And so from the acquisition standpoint, I think that we've learned a lot from what retail has done over the last 5 years and to drive drive customers to our brand, get them to try it once, and then of course put them into the loyalty program, which is the key here, right? I mean, the name of the game is loyalty. Loyalty reduces earnings volatility because loyal customers don't churn.
Right, and you're collecting their data, which is helpful, right?
Precisely. Can we go back to your original question about the concept and let my colleagues here answer that? Is that okay, Brett?
I would love for you to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Brett, this is Zach Frisch. We're getting really excited to have our grand opening for our first store here early next week. It's going to be July 7th. We have 6 more restaurants in our pipeline. The second store is under construction, and we're about to sign a deal to open the next 5 brick-and-mortar stores. Our plan is to open up the market here in Denver, saturate the market through, like you said, brick and mortar stores where we can have a limited dine-in, but mostly takeout and delivery. And then we have ambitions to enter additional MSAs. That said, when you asked us originally whether we're dark, whether we're ghost, conventionally, we're just going to start out with kind of the brick and mortar, just so we can help build our brand. That said, we do anticipate there could be opportunities to go into ghost stores, dark kitchens, and or sell our sauces and some of our products through other retail channels as well. But first and foremost, we want to engage with our customers in the short term and help build out the brand.
So you're going to create content that will keep me engaged. What sort of content is that going to be?
Yeah, so it depends on the channel that we use. We know that there are bites of content that work effectively in the various channels, some long, some short, some snippets. A lot of it is imagery driven, right? And whether you're female or male or what have you, we understand, at least from my experience doing performance marketing, what gives us the highest chances of success and propensity, likelihood to transact, right? So we have that knowledge currently, and we're going to overlay that in this brand. And there's going to be a lot of ABC testing, right? But we're going to continue to drive a ton of content out there, find out what's most effective, get that understanding of what we call the close rate, right? Make sure that we know what it costs to close that transaction. And if it's affordable, look for the lookalikes. And we're going to continue to drive in that way. And so we're going to be more efficient. We're going to be effective every single time. And as I said before, it's about the creation of great content and the curation of great content. And the curation part is to bring you to the site, right? And using some really intelligent pixel tracking to know if you actually, where you transacted, how do we can create dynamic menus so that it changes on the fly for you based on your likings and then get you to actually transact.
So you're focusing, obviously the content has to be compelling, but it has to be compelling in such a way that I actually place an order, that you close the deal.
And I have, right, that's correct. And then we have a break-even model to layer on top of that. So if bread, for example, costs me, I'm just making up a number, you know, $22 to transact, it may be higher than my break-even number. And so the question is, do I want to continue to go after bread? And the answer is, if the answer is yes, and I do, then what better content can I overlay to get Brett to transact at a cheaper transaction rate or a more effective transaction rate, right? So it's all about customer acquisition, filling the top of the funnel, never stopping on that effort. And then of course, getting you to close and then join the loyalty program. And then you're in that life cycle.
And I'm ordering from you twice a week.
Amen.
So do you have any examples of what that content might be? Or are you still kind of spitballing?
No, we have a lot of content already built out. So we probably have over 70, 80 campaigns that we've built out in this time. And we will be launching them this week. So Brett, if you get one, you know that you have fit into the universe that we just described as those who have the highest propensity and likelihood at this juncture to buy Wingwalk.
So as a resident of Brooklyn, New York, probably I won't get it.
Probably not.
Which, yeah. Great. Because I don't want it until I'm likely to go. And then when I'm in Denver, I'll give you a call.
Right. And if you do get an ad, please let me know, because we're doing something wrong at that point.
Right.
Yeah, so you're in Brooklyn.
Can you walk me through some examples of what some of those ads are? Or is it supposed
to be? I wish I could show you, share my screen, because I've got them built. But I can send you a few of the ads. And you'll see that some are long, some are short, and most of them are very much like those really spunky, fun ads that you see on Instagram, right? The ones that you just kind of like, even though you don't really need a pair of shorts, for some reason you click on it and you're like, these are cool shorts. I don't know that I need these shorts, but this ad's really enticing. I think I'm gonna buy these shorts.
What can I get at Wingwalk?
Well, you can get 4 different flavors of chicken wings, all made from our homemade handcrafted sauces. You can get chicken burritos, and you can get what we believe to be the world's best chicken sandwich. And we're eager to challenge anyone to a contest as to who has the best chicken sandwich in the world. And then we also have a lot of different authentic Korean side dishes that are, you know, very healthy and authentic recipes as well.
So I can get banchan with my fried chicken.
Brett, just because you said it correctly, I take back half the bad things I ever said about you.
Thank you. I feel like I could have, you know, vocalized or stressed to be a little bit more. It's more like banchan.
Banchan, yeah, that's right.
I'll take the compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be able to take advantage of the health benefits, the prebiotics, probiotics of the traditional pickled Korean sides, kimchi, cubed kimchi. Our coleslaw is like no other. It's not a mayo, super thick, rich coleslaw. So anyone that tries it loves it. It has a little bit of apple in it. It's a different twist that people just cannot get enough of.
I care more about the deliciousness of it than the prebioticness of it, but great. All of that sounds good. And how is your chicken sandwich distinctive from all other 10 million and one chicken sandwiches?
So most chicken sandwiches today are either just loaded in spice and or plain, right? And they use a sweet roll and perhaps a pickle at best, right? Just sort of the traditional chicken sandwich. And Nashville hot chicken, of course, is sort of the piece that I think people are latching onto and gravitating towards, right? But if you look at what we're doing and you compare what they have to what we have today, it's night and day. So we start off with a locally made bun from Aspen Baking Company. And then we use only the best chicken, not antibiotic-free chicken, but no antibiotics ever chicken from Redbird, based here locally, Redbird Farms, based here locally in Denver, Colorado, right? And the big difference there is not only is it NAE chicken, but there's a resting process that the chicken goes through that allows that chicken to be super tender by the time you serve it fresh, right? Whereas I think there's probably only 5 or 6 farmers that can make that claim in America today, because it's a very expensive process, right? The resting process. And so we're very fortunate enough to have a wonderful relationship with the owner of Redbird Farms, and we buy direct from Redbird Farms. So you've got the local Aspen Baking Company bread, which is phenomenal. Then we layer in the most delicious chicken. Our combination of cooking, breading, our proprietary batter, all of which we're going to sell online and in the store and hopefully in retail. And we layer in fresh, thick cut cucumber on the bottom, so that you always taste from the bottom up, and our homemade sauces, and of course our amazing gochujang sauce that we toss it inside the wok process. So put all that together and it's rock and roll in your mouth like you've never experienced before.
And is it actual cucumber slices instead of pickle?
That's right, big, thick, fresh cucumber. And I wanted it that way because I think what happens in today's world is that you get this sort of salty, flimsy pickle. And I think that's, people get accustomed to it and it tastes great. But when you go to Korea and you have a chicken sandwich like this and you get that big thick of fresh cucumber on the bottom, it's just a delightful experience, a really refreshing experience that your mouth is and your whole brain just can't really conceive, is not because it's not accustomed to it. And so you get that crunch, the freshness, and then you get that juicy chicken along with the amazing gochujang sauce, and then you top it off with our homemade soul slaw. We call it soul slaw, and then our layered in jalapeno mayo that we make from scratch. So it is an absolute delight and a treat. And I will tell you, he's right. We've fed over 200 people, and every single person, and it's a blessing, I think. And they've all said how delicious the chicken sandwich is, and it's probably the best you've ever eaten. It's the kind that you would get in an absolute gourmet restaurant, but in a fast casual setting or a quick service setting for $9.
Great. Yeah, I actually had a fried chicken sandwich for dinner from a very large fast food restaurant last night, and I got the spicy version, and it was just spicy.
Yeah. There's a big difference between spicy and flavor. Yeah.
Right. And it was really incongruous with the chicken. I had a chicken sandwich, and then I had spicy, and they didn't even really talk to each other, and I was disappointed.
Brett, that's a great way to put it. I think our chicken sandwich, all the ingredients talk exceptionally well together. Very, very, very good. And it has all of the spices, the savoriness, the sweetness, the tartness. I mean, it hits that 360 profile. It's that good. I would put it up against anybody's out there.
And so you also have 4 different sauces, right? Let's talk about them.
Sure. We start off with our soy garlic, all homemade, right? And we actually don't use soy sauce. So a little note about us, and I'll let Brian talk to, I've done enough talking, I'll let Brian speak to the sauces. He's very passionate about a particular way that we make our sauces and our batter, and it's very personal to him. So I think it's more emphatic and more personal when he speaks about it and how we got to where we did today, because I think we were at an interesting crossroads when we were making the batter and sauces, and I'll let him elaborate what that really means.
Sounds great. Brian, please tell me about the sauces, sir.
Thanks, James. So our sauces are incredible when it comes to flavor. The chef has just done an amazing job really enriching the original concept that James came up with. But what James was alluding to is I've always wanted to be part of a restaurant group. But when my daughter, it was determined that she's extremely allergic to gluten or anything with wheat in it, I realized, okay, well, I can't have a restaurant that my daughter can't safely eat at. So as I've worked through this process with James, we realized that we didn't need gluten in our batter. Our batter is the crunchiest, most flavorful batter, and the main ingredient is rice flour. So right there, my daughter can eat the breading that's on the chicken. Then into the sauces, so many different products on the market have gluten in them. So something as simple as soy sauce does. So we had to find a gluten-free soy sauce. Some of this adds to the cost, but with the way that our customers are gravitating to more and more some gluten-free options, there's no sacrifice in flavor. So we're super excited to be able to offer a product that's gluten-free. I mean, we do have gluten on some parts of the menu, but overall our main anchors can be gluten-free with no sacrifice in flavor. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, and the unique advantage, Brett, that we have is that we don't have a group of franchisees or a board of directors that demand a particular food cost, right? So we have a little bit, actually a lot more liberties, and can be much more, and I don't mean this in a bad way, the way we describe purpose-driven with our food, because we don't have to pay a royalty to anybody. We don't have to worry about prime costs being under 60%. Yeah, do we care? Absolutely. You know I do, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I'm a little bit more lenient than I've ever have been, because again, it's our concept, it's our bat, our ball, our call. And therefore, we're happy to source a gluten-free soy sauce, which is a heck of a lot more. But we also know that we can put our stake in the ground and say we're gluten-free. You know, most people will say, well, who cares? We do. Don't care that you don't care, but we do.
Right.
You know, it's okay that you don't care, but we do. And I think our customers care. And we even before we open, I mean, right now we're turning away. We're not open just yet. We're training, but we're turning away 20, 30 people at the door every single day. And you can't imagine how many people ask that question, whether it's personal or not. They say, are you gluten-free? You know, and I don't, whether it's a fad, a trend, or personal, and it's important to you, the question's still being asked. And we're proud to answer, yeah, we are gluten-free, right?
Well, and rice flour is traditionally what's used with Korean fried chicken, right? So it's,
you're exactly right, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but over time, that's changed to just, you know, regular flour, right? But we've tried the best. We obviously, you know, that my experience in the bread space. And so we've tried organic, the best flour that is, you know, wheat from the south of France that gets milled here in Utah. And we've tried that flour and it was absolutely remarkable, but it wasn't gluten-free, right? And so we had this, we spent, I don't know, maybe a whole month once we decided that we wanted to be gluten-free, you know, we said, look, let's start with the end in mind. And if we can, let's do it. If we can't, we understand, you know, that's inevitable. But we were able to sort of put a square peg in a round hole and make it work and find all the right permutations to get our end quality exactly the way we want it, using the absolute best ingredients to get us there, right? And so we were very fortunate enough to have intelligent people, great support on suppliers and vendors to help us achieve our goal of getting the product gluten-free. Again, we didn't set out to be gluten-free. Brian has a very particular brand and a good reason why to be gluten-free. And so we said, if this was possible, how do we change our behaviors? Who do we need to call? And lo and behold, here we are today. And I'm very proud of what we've created.
So is the bread for the sandwich also gluten-free?
So we have a gluten-free option bread, absolutely. And you know, there's a very famous gluten-free baker here that's sold in Denver, Colorado. He's a very good friend. He's a very good friend of ours. We're all the same age. And of course, we do have that bread available as an option. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He has national distribution, et cetera.
That's right. That's right. And he's in our backyard. That's the best part.
Yeah. That's handy.
Yeah.
Okay. So we haven't finished with the sauces because we only got to one. The soy garlic, you said, right?
Soy garlic. It's my jam right now. It's my go-to. You know, everything's made from scratch. It's so delicious. It has the super brightness of soy sauce that gets reduced. The second flavor, which many would argue is probably their most favorite sauce, is the gochujang sauce. I mean, what's more iconic in the Korean flavor than gochujang sauce, right? Or just gochujang in general, right? And so with that, we do use authentic Korean gochujang paste imported from Korea. And we've got a great relationship with the largest Korean grocer in the U.S. You can figure out who that is. And that family is supporting us and providing us those ingredients that are imported from Korea. And then we layer in our own spices and sauces and marinades in the same way that we do the soy garlic. We're able to reduce that fast. And it's in that, frankly, it's I kind of and I'm not doing it justice. I think Koreans might not like the way I'm about to describe it, but it is sort of the Korean barbecue sauce, if you will, the way that we've created it. And it's so, so, so good. And again, that doesn't do it justice, but for those who aren't familiar with gochujang, like you and I are, that's kind of how I would describe it. It's just a lively Korean barbecue, right? With tons of flavor and heat and excitement. The third one is our citrus flavor. And instead of doing a traditional quote unquote orange chicken, we went the other way, and it's not a lemon chicken. It's the combination of lemons and oranges and limes that we're able to create this spice, and we call it a citrus chicken. And it has some delicious cuts of carrot, tiny pieces of carrot and garlic in this amazing sauce that we're able to reduce and brighten it up. And then the fourth one, we had about six flavors at the beginning, but I always like to be narrow and deep, you know, an inch wide and a mile deep. And the fourth one, I was actually pulling into the driveway and I called Brian. I said, Brian, I got five or six sauces. If I was to get to just four flavors, what would you want? And Brian's from Buffalo, so I knew the answer, right? So, and he said, well, James, I'm glad you asked. I've been thinking about it. He's like, I'm from Buffalo. We're selling wings. It would be kind of an embarrassment to me if we didn't have Buffalo flavor on the menu. And he's right. You know, if you're going to sell chicken and you're going to also sell a ton of wings, you might as well the veto vote, right? The buffalo sauce. Right. But the challenge there became the reduction of buffalo sauce, which is, you know, the ingredients are there aren't really the viscosity changes in it, the wrong direction, if you will. Mm-hmm. It just becomes looser and looser. It doesn't really reduce. And we couldn't get it to work. And we tried and we tinkered with cornstarch. We tried with so many different ingredients to thicken it, to reduce it better, and just couldn't get it to work. So I said, okay, why don't we do a dry rub? We have a wok, we can make amazing dry rub, but the key isn't going to be the dry rub. And the dry rub is absolutely fantastic unto itself. But I said, the key is going to be the blue cheese dressing, authentic blue cheese dressing. And so we have now had probably about a dozen folks that are from the city of Buffalo. And everyone, before they bite into it, are a little apprehensive because they see the dry rub, right? But I always say, I understand. At this point, I've learned to accept that look, right? I know it's coming. But then the inevitable question is this real blue cheese? It's like if you live in a neighborhood, it's like living in Denver. It's like a thing to say, I'm fifth generation Coloradan. It's just something that just comes out after you introduce yourself, that whatever generation you may be of Colorado, from Colorado. What generation are you?
Third generation.
Okay, thank you. God love you, Brett. So inevitably, I knew that question was coming after having fed several, and we created homemade blue cheese, real blue cheese, and we make it from scratch. And when you combine the dry, so the super crispy fried chicken, right? Amazing, tender, juicy chicken from Redbird Farms with our dry rub, and then you dunk it into the blue cheese. It's just good, if not one of the best. Buffalo. I mean, he's from Buffalo, so he'll tell you. He'll tell you. He won't lie to me, you know. And that's how we got to our fourth sauce. And so that fourth one will be a dry rub with homemade blue cheese dressing.
And so, and the sandwiches, are you using breast?
Two tenders.
They're tenders. Okay. The best part.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, here's the best part of tenders. No kid in America today has grown up not eating chicken tenders, right? I mean, they're as American as apple pie, if you will. We all grew up eating chicken nuggets and then now chicken tenders. And to put that in between perfection in terms of bun, you know, I call it heaven in between aspen because they're aspen buns.
That's really nice.
But we actually, the actual name is the Miracle Chicken Burger. That's the actual name of the sandwich. We call what we do a fried chicken miracle. And that particular item is called the Miracle Chicken Burger. And the chicken burger is what it's typically called in Korea, chicken burger. So we brought that forward into our brand. And it's exceptional. And I can't wait for the opportunity to feed you guys.
Well, I'm going to be in Denver later in July, so maybe we'll have time to have a sandwich.
That's the word on the street, my friend.
Yes, late July. So you're going to open 5-6 locations. That's in the works. And then you want to go to different markets?
That's correct. Right now, we want to stay really tight in Denver, make sure we're operationally sound. Make sure all of the KPIs are in harmony, and tweak where we can tweak. And because it's local, it's much more easier to support local stores. And look, at the end of the day, my partners may not agree with me, and we go back and forth on this, but I'd be happy as a clam having 10, 15 exceptionally well-run restaurants here in the Denver marketplace. You know, I don't need to build 1,000 restaurants. I don't have any aspirations to have 1,000 restaurants like people like to come out and say, you know, and I don't need to franchise. It's not that I don't like franchising. I've done franchising my entire life, but we get to play in a different field with this brand and have a lot of fun with it and really bring some of the best minds together. The people around the camp that are supporting this project, Brett, you know, very well, I won't, they have elected to be anonymous in a large at their request, but all people that if we said the names, you would know just like that. No, you know, no problem. But we get to do something different. I think they get to see that they get to participate in something different, right, than we're accustomed to. So we're exceptionally blessed. We're just honored. I'm humbled by the amount of energy and just talent around the camp. And to be working, as I said, with Friends in Fried Chicken, what could possibly be better?
Beer and soju.
Oh, that too.
Oh, do you have beer and soju on the menu?
Oh man, the most important piece at times.
I was about to say, well, thanks, bye, and we forgot to talk about the drink.
We say we're not drinking the Kool-Aid. We're drinking the soju.
Are you offering local craft Colorado beer?
So we haven't gone down that path just yet. Right now, the menu is Korean beers.
Also good. So,
yeah, absolutely correct. And soju. And you know, the type of soju that we will be bringing into the store isn't available in every restaurant. So if you look at soju, traditional soju is a rice-based, and over time it's transitioned into kind of like sake, and then over time it's transitioned into potato-based, right? Well, the original recipes of soju have become the trend now for many Koreans. And so we have a great relationship with the only distributor in town that is able to service both. There's only one place that I can think of in all of Denver that you can actually buy the traditional soju. And now there will be two.